appreciate you bringing us our prayers and the thoughts that you've expressed. Okay, this is more in the nature of a discussion rather than a... It's certainly not a sermon. So if at any point you want to ask some questions or make some comments, then please feel very free to do so. As I mentioned earlier, a couple of weeks ago, I brought an introductory sermon where I introduced the five key themes that we believe as a church that Session has been working on, that we believe God calls us to, and it's five key things that we see in Jesus Christ. That is, firstly, Jesus worshipped the Father. Secondly, he engaged in fellowship and drawing others into fellowship. Thirdly, that he developed disciples through teaching. And fourthly, he shared the gospel message through preaching. And fifthly, he bore witness to the nearness of the kingdom of God through his ministry, through healing people, through standing in solidarity with those who suffer, through bringing about peace between people. And so these are the five key outcomes that we believe we need to be pursuing here at St. James. Now, and so as Miran explained last week, we can see them presented in that diagram up there. It's, so we encourage you to have a closer look at that. But really what that diagram shows is really the same as what this first handout that we gave out last week shows. It just is a prettier presentation, really. And so it's our strategic direction for the next 5 years, 2020 to 2024. Our vision is that we believe that God is calling us here at St. James to be a church that bears faithful witness to Jesus Christ, cares for one another, gives testimony to the work of God in our lives, prays for our world, and serves our community. The outcomes, if you drop down to the next level, the five outcomes that we believe God is calling us to pursue: to provide dynamic worship, to promote inclusive fellowship, to foster discipleship development, to grow an emphasis on sharing the gospel, and to create opportunities to bear witness. And so just how we measure these things and how we what specifically we do in order to move in those directions comes further down. And so our general measure for these things is that all who gather with us are inspired in their life of faith. So if I asked you, do you find our worship here at St. James inspires you in your life of faith? And if you said yes to that, that would be a good measure. And if you said no to that, we'd have to think, well, gee, we need to make some changes then, don't we? As far as fellowship goes, all who gather with us feel accepted and able to grow in authentic relationship with others. And so again, we could ask that question, do you feel accepted here? Do you feel as though you're able to grow in authentic relationship with others on account of the environment that we provide here and the things that we do? As far as discipleship development goes, all who gather with us are assisted to flourish in their relationship with God. Do you feel as though you are being assisted by what we do here at St. James to grow in your relationship with God? And if the answer to that is, well, not much actually, then we need to be doing some more things around that. As far as sharing the gospel goes, all who gather with us feel ready to share their faith in Jesus with others. Do you feel ready to share your faith in Jesus through what we've been doing here at St. James? And if the answer is, well, actually, not very ready, then that, you know, that suggests that there's more that we need to do. And others will know that God cares about them and the world. So if we ask the world at large out there, do you know that God cares, loves you and cares for the world? And if they say, no, didn't know that, then that suggests there's a bit more that we can be doing as well. So these are quite aspirational goals, and they're not the sort of goals that we kind of tick off and say, oh, well, done that. They're really ongoing, and so they're not the sort of things that we would change, I don't think, very often, or probably never want to change them at all. And so this out of this becomes our strategic priorities, the things that we particularly believe we need to focus on over the next 5 years. Some of these words are interesting. Maren and I had quite a few discussions and arguments about some of these words, and I learned the distinction between infinite verbs and finite verbs. Apparently those words up the top, the provide, the promote, the foster, the grow, the create, are infinite verbs. They're verbs that just, in a sense, you never really can say I've got there. Whereas the other ones are finite verbs that you can say, yeah, I've done that. Curate, that's a word that I've got from Andrew Sangster at West Baptist. As I'm going to be preaching next week on who is our worship leader. And the answer is, well, actually, it's Jesus Christ who is our worship leader. And so if Jesus is our worship leader, then what do we do? Well, we put things in place. And that's where that word curate comes from. I wish there was a better word, but anyway, some of you might be able to think of a better word. But we put things in place. We curate worship, which honours God, is inspiring and accessible to a wide range of people. We cultivate fellowship that fosters a culture, I've changed that word to ethos, that fosters an ethos of welcoming inclusivity. We build growth in the knowledge of God and our members. We implement programs to equip and enable members to share the gospel confidently with others. And we enhance the desire of members to bear witness to the kingdom of God in our community. So these are the things that we're wanting to focus on. And as Maren shared last week, we've got a purpose statement there and also core values, core principles that guide our behaviour. Okay, so that's kind of just summarising and perhaps elaborating slightly upon what Maren shared with us last week. She can't be with us this week. Now, what you've received this week is this document. Has everyone got one of these? Or at least got one that they can look on with others. So what we've got here is this provides much more specific detail that sits underneath the five outcomes that we've got in this overarching statement here. And so we take them in turn. And at this point, we're really looking for the input of the whole church here. We've as a session, done our best to suggest some things, but we need your input as well. So here's our first strategic priority, to curate worship, which honours God, is inspiring, and is accessible to a wide range of people. Why? Why this priority? Well, in order that all who gather with us are inspired in their life of faith, our worship needs to take place within an environment that is spiritually, emotionally, and physically safe. We believe those things are important. So we need to do some things to make sure that, to the best of our ability, that's the case. It's curated in a manner that is contemporary, creative, and informal. If you don't like it being informal, tell us, and we'll go high church maybe, but we feel St. James isn't a high church church, so anyway, so but we need agreement around these things. Is welcoming, friendly, and inclusive? If you don't think we should be inclusive, let us know and we'll become a cult. But I don't think that's what we want to do, is it? And what's it? And is intergenerationally, biculturally and multiculturally sensitive. Specifically, in order to do these sorts of things, we believe we need to be God-honouring, Jesus-led and Holy Spirit-enabled. We need to be a church that prays. You know, if we just turn up to worship and it hasn't been prepared for through prayer, we don't think that's a great idea. God will be present in our worship in spirit and in truth. That we be kids-friendly in all that we do, so that children feel as though they have a place of belonging and welcome as well. And that we have buildings and resources that are fit for purpose. Now we're getting down to some specifics, aren't we? Because you know, we've got a building that leaks and maybe isn't all that fit for purpose. Some of the measures that we can put around this, we want to increase the number of Sunday celebration services that are planned and coordinated by our Connect children and or our Impact Youth to 4 times a year. If once a quarter we can have a service that's led by our children or our young people, we think that's a way in which we can make our worship more intergenerationally connective and contemporary and creative and all those things that we've been talking about. We want to have established a prayer team and that people are intentionally invited to participate in prayer with members of the prayer team at least twice a month. And so some of these things we've already started to do, and we want to, and by making them a strategic priority, it's something that comes up in our face on a regular basis and we ask ourselves the question, are we still doing this? And can we do it better? And how's it going? And once it's really embedded into our culture and it's something that just happens, then maybe that can shift off and something else takes its place. It doesn't mean you stop doing what you've been doing. It just means that we're sufficiently confident that it really is embedded into the culture of who we are at St. James. Deliverables, the things that we hope to be able to have delivered by 2024, we want to have turned the library into a prayer room. It's not really a library anymore, apart from the fact that there's still a lot of books there. But a library is somewhere that people go to get books that they read, and we just don't know that there's much of that happening anymore. And so maybe it can serve a better purpose now. Excellent. Yeah, I don't think we have any of that in our library, though, do we? But if you're getting access to that sort of stuff, that's awesome. By 2024, we want to have resolved our worship space weather tightness issues and made it fit for purpose. Do we want to do that? We need to have some discussion around that. We need to have safeguarded the hall in relation to bank slippage and earthquake strengthening requirements. We're sort of doing something about that now, but it's ongoing and it's nowhere near being resolved yet. And we need to have a clear succession plan in place for our minister. That is because by 2024, I'll be nearly 68, and that in times past has been time well past due for retirement. I don't. Yeah, so I just don't expect to be in this role in 5 years' time, is what I'm saying. I don't think. Well, part of me would love to still be in this role. My dream is that I announce my retirement a month before you folks say it's time for me to retire. But I'm of a generation, and I genuinely believe that during this period that St. James needs a younger person in this role, and we need to be making steps to transition to that point. And I certainly want the best for Marie and I, but I certainly want the best for us here at St. James as well. And so, in light of that, I have suggested a plan to session, just at our last session meeting, that we hope will be good for St. James and will be good for us, and that I would like at some stage during next year to be able to reduce my role to a 0.8 position. What that would do for St. James would free up about $17,000 per annum because it would cost less to employ me, and that money could possibly be available for a ministry intern to come and work with us and with me as a mentoring minister. And what it would do for Marie and I is that it would give us a bit more time to go to where our heart really yearns. That is with our children and our grandchildren in the Nelson, Tasman area. We have five grandchildren there who are all growing up, and we don't see much of them, and we'd love to be able to see more of them. And so, indeed, yeah, and they're getting older. Some of them are young. But yes, so what that would look like, and I'll supply more detail for you, because in order for this to happen, you need to be well informed. You need to make a free decision on this, and I would have to have my terms of call changed by the presbytery, because they're my actual employer. And so what I'd like to do is provide some written information. I asked Lorraine a couple of months ago to do some calculations for me. She said, what would it look like for me in terms of money and in terms of time if I went to a 0.8 role? And the approximate answer is that it would save about $17,000 per annum, and it would, counting annual leave, it would free up about 13 weeks of time that I would like to be able to take with Marie, say every 7 or 8 weeks to have 2 weeks in the South Island, every 7 or 8 weeks to have 2 weeks in the South Island, like that. I'd still be available for about 40 Sundays a year, and obviously available by phone. But that's something for you to think about as a congregation, because I would need your approval if we were going to do this. But as I say, I'll provide some more written information about that for next week so that you can see that with more clarity. So that's some detail in terms of planning. That it relates to more than our worship, but you have to put these things somewhere. So that's where I've put them in relation to worship. Our strategic priority number 2 is to cultivate fellowship that fosters an ethos of welcoming inclusivity. I think we actually do this pretty well at St. James, but we need to be better at it. And so why? Why do we need to focus on that priority? In order that all who gather with us feel accepted and able to grow in authentic relationships, they need to feel welcomed, such that they're motivated to engage more deeply with each other. We need to recognise that people lead busy lives with work and family commitments. Many feel that they do not have the time or energy to be involved in traditional church activities. Some do not have access to transportation or funds for outside social events. In other words, there's a whole range of different people here with different situations and circumstances. Consequently, we believe our fellowship needs to be low-key, accessible and regular, but also authentic. It needs to enable a diverse range of individuals and groups of people to mingle easily and feel as though they belong, and therefore able to get to know and support each other. That's what we believe as a session that we need to do to help grow authentic fellowship. Specifically, we need to ensure that we actively and intentionally foster a culture of belonging, family feeling and deeper level sharing, encourage growth in genuine relationships and friendships to take place that spill over into the other 6 days in which we look out for and support one another, and engage in intergenerational and multicultural relationships that assist visitors and newcomers to feel welcomed and integrated into our church family. So ways in which we might be able to specifically measure whether that sort of thing is happening. We would like by 2024 to have increased the opportunity for visitors and members to participate in a shared lunch to at least two times each month. That's something that is already happening, a ministry that Beth and others have gotten underway. But the reason why we feel it still needs to be here as a specific strategic priority is that we're not sure that it's sufficiently well enough embedded to be able to sort of take our eyes off that in a sense. And we need to increase the opportunity for members to participate in small groups centred around a shared activity or interest to twice a month. One of the things that I'm aware of and concerns me a bit is just there's only a relatively small proportion of us who, as far as I'm aware, engage in a regular home group or small group. And as we say, we know that people lead busy lives, so don't want to kind of be coercive around this, but we do want to encourage it and make opportunity for it, because it's a deeply valuable thing for building in-depth or greater depth relationships. And so one specific deliverable that we want to do, and we've talked about this for a bit and it hasn't really gotten off the ground yet, but would very much like to establish three intergenerational family groups that meet once a month or thereabouts for a shared activity. Doesn't have to be specifically Bible related, but just with a focus on intergenerational connection. Studies suggest that one of the best ways in which people can feel a sense of belonging is through intergenerational connections, younger people with older people, making friendships and getting to know one another. So that's something that we do want to focus on. Strategic priority number three, build growth in the knowledge of God in our members. This is discipleship. Why? Why this priority? Well, in order that all who gather with us are assisted to flourish in their relationship with God as disciples of Jesus. Well, people have all sorts of different motivations for coming along to church. You may not want to be a disciple of Jesus. You just might happen to like us because we're such cool people. If that's the case, that's fine. You're very welcome. But our intention in all this is that all who gather with us actually become disciples of Jesus. Again, we don't want to be coercive about this, but we do want to be intentional around it and provide opportunities for this to happen. So in order to do this, we need to be aware that our members come from a wide range of backgrounds. Some of us don't come from a church background, but many of us do, especially our older members. Many are mature in their faith. Many perhaps are not so mature. And so our discipleship development needs to meet the needs of a wide range of people who have a wide range of prior knowledge and spiritual experience. And so specifically, we need to ensure that we actively and intentionally encourage and resource members to nurture their relationship with God. I think this takes place in two ways. We nurture our relationship with God as individuals. So this is taking individual responsibility for your relationship with God. And traditionally, Christians have done this through prayer, through Bible reading, through various other spiritual disciplines. Theological reflection. You might say, well, what's that and how do you do it? Well, we want to be able to do some helpful stuff with that. Going on retreat, fasting. There are various things that Christians have done historically and still do to help nurture their relationship with God as individuals. But we need to do it collectively as well. It's not just about us as individuals having a connection with God. It's us having a connection with each other as a community of people in relationship with God, and not just in relationship with God, and in relationship with all of creation ultimately. And so we need to nurture and teach those who gather with us who have not made an active affirmation of faith towards confirmation, confession, and baptism. I've been here as your minister for nearly 6 years now, and all that time we have not had one person baptized. Again, we don't want to be coercive about this, but we do want to provide opportunity and encouragement to grow in Christ-likeness and as followers of Jesus. We want to make regular opportunities available for members to explore and put into practice their spiritual giftings. This is something that Beth did with us a couple of years ago on one of the retreats that all were invited to come to explore different dimensions of this, and we want to keep this here because it's not something we want to take our eyes off. We want to be intentional around this. And fourthly, to regularly make known the biblical story of God's missional heart for the world through preaching, through theological reflection, through Bible study and prayer. And Lorraine did a very good job of that this morning in her prayer. So measures for this, by 2024, and every time we say by 2024 here, that doesn't mean to say we're going to wait for 5 years before putting all these into place in one hit. You know, some of these things will happen, we hope, much sooner, but over this time frame, we want to aim towards these things being in place. That we've increased the number of opportunities for members to nurture their relationship with God through actively participating in Bible study, prayer, discussion, small groups, and that sort of thing. And made available twice a year opportunities for members to explore and to put into practice their spiritual giftings. And key deliverables on this, we want to have employed and resourced on a sustainable basis a children's, youth and families ministry coordinator to nurture, equip and empower St. James families through children's and youth ministry. So we've got Colleen at the moment, but she's not employed and resourced on a sustainable basis. And we want to try and do whatever we need to do, and it may require that we apply for funding. As we talked about during our AGM last month, to ensure that that person, whoever it is employed in a sustainable and resourced in a sustainable way. What it means is that as things stand at the moment, we as a church are running a budget deficit for this year, and the budget deficit is approximately equal to what it costs to employ Colleen. Well, I mean, you could say it's approximately equal to what it costs to employ part of me as well. I mean, and so we're able to sustain that at the moment because we have reserves that have been built up from previous years. But that's not sustainable. It's not sustainable to spend more every year than you receive every year by way of revenue. And so at the moment it's sustainable short term, but it's not sustainable long term. And we would like it to be more sustainable over the longer term. There is the possibility of applying. Yeah, we haven't done that yet because, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, the urgency around having this document is that we need to have this document in order to be able to do this application. So that's the pragmatic reason why we're doing this, so that we can, yeah, Presbytery Central, that's the part of the Presbyterian Church that we are part of. It occupies the lower North Island from our area across to Gisborne, underneath Taupō, I think from about Taihape southwards down to Wellington. There are about, I think, 86 either Presbyterian churches like St. James or joint venture churches like Brooklands, which is partly Presbyterian, partly Anglican. There are about 86 of these churches in the presbytery. And the presbytery has cash reserves of about $5 million that it wants to use to grow the church, what they call green the church. Many of these churches don't have any children at all. Approximately 60% of those churches, these 86 churches, don't have any children or young people in them at all. So here at St. James, we're in a very blessed position. So what they've decided to do is that they want to put it into 10 pools for 10 years, $500,000 a year, that they're prepared to put into funding initiatives that will grow the church. For too long, and they're reluctant to fund more buildings. And they're only willing to say yes to money being spent, or large sums of money being spent on buildings, if they're satisfied that this church is a viable church. You know, it's got a future of some sort. Some of these churches, from a human perspective, you know, God can breathe life into dry bones. But from a human perspective, if you see a church with just a few very elderly people, you think, well, does this have a viable future? Because many of these churches have actually closed down. This is, in fact, how they got their $5 million in the first place. Because when these churches do fall over, you've still got some assets, some of which are on pretty valuable land. That asset gets sold and the money goes into the presbytery pot. And so we are, as a Presbyterian church in this area, we are entitled to be able to apply for funding. But we've got to have a good case, you know. And so it's about not only having a good case, but being seen to have a good case so that it's objectively verifiable. And so you've got documentation and you've got plans in place. And so that's the pragmatic, urgent reason around this and why I'm wanting to call and I'll be doing that next week, but I'm wanting to call a meeting that we have so that we can formally say yes to this or whatever form this is in after we've modified it, so that we can have it formally approved at a duly constituted meeting, so that it's something that sits alongside the documentation that we can send in. And I have been told, and there's no promises around this, but I was talking to the guy who is on the committee of presbytery, that it's called the Mission Resourcing Work Group. They're the ones who control this pot of money. And I said, look, this is our situation at St. James. Could we, you know, would we be able to apply? And he says, yes. And he said, if you're already doing it, that's great. We don't want to take away from you what you're already doing. Probably what we would do is give you some sum of money over a three-year period that would kind of decline over 3 years. And so their thinking is if they can resource us to be able to reach a point where we can sustain it ourselves. So that seemed like a pretty reasonable approach to take, and so that's what we're moving towards. So that's the urgency around this document, but I don't want this document just to be something for that reason. I want it to have authenticity in its own right, that this is something we actually genuinely believe in. It's not just something we're doing so that we can apply for money, because that's just not authentic in my view. It doesn't have integrity. All right, so that's a key deliverable. So employing and resourcing on a sustainable basis. So everything that we've been saying around that comes under that heading. and to make the connect space welcoming and fit for purpose, and that's already happening. You know, we've Colleen and Matthew especially have, and I did a little bit too. it's been painted, and Richard's done a lot of work on this as well, I think, and others, and Mark and Kevin have been doing a lot of work making the kitchen good, and it's got some carpet, and I think the electricity issues have been sorted. Yeah, so it's happening, but it's still something we want to keep there, because there's the connect space also includes up into the hall, and there's earthquake strengthening issues around that, and so at this stage it's not fully fit for purpose. So fourth priority, oh golly, we're sort of running on a bit, so we want to implement programs to equip and enable members to share the gospel confidently with others. Why this priority? Well, I think that's fairly obvious. Specifically, we want to be able to equip ourselves to be able to communicate with others the gospel message in ways that are faithful to Jesus Christ and accessible to our contemporary culture. And it's good to have some confidence around that. We want to be able to take advantage as individuals, as families, and as a church of opportunities that God brings our way to speak about our faith in Jesus with others, and to do that in ways that are sensitive, intelligent, and are not browbeating or anything of that nature. We want to be a church that values the power of prayer, the work of the Holy Spirit, simple gestures of kindness, open-hearted generosity and hospitality, and being compassionately engaged in our wider community as means by which God uses us to open up space to enable us to speak about faith in God with others. And we, in sharing the gospel, we want to support larger organisations such as the PCANZ Global Mission, those who have special giftings as missionaries and evangelists, and that we intentionally support and contribute. So specific measures for this strategic priority: by 2024 we will have, we would like to have taken active steps twice a year to improve our ability to better communicate the message of Jesus to others in ways that are accessible to our contemporary culture. Collectively prayed at least once a month specifically, that the Holy Spirit will make use of our engagement with our wider community through our various ministries and roles to open up spaces for us to speak about faith in God with others, and that we have budgeted 5% of our annual total church income specifically for missional work. We feel uncomfortable around the idea of all of the money that comes to us here at St. James being spent here at St. James. We believe God calls us to be generous and open-hearted beyond ourselves. So deliverables for that, one of the things that we would like to do is to have hosted a Knox Centre for Ministry and Leadership intern. It so happens that the amount that it would cost us as a church approximately to host an intern is about the same as what I would be able to free up by moving to a 0.8 position. It's around maybe 20,000 per annum to host an intern. And I've already made inquiries with the Knox Centre, and so the soonest that we would be in a position to host an intern would be 2021. So all the interns for next year are all allocated. They tell me that there are far more churches wanting to host interns than there are interns available. However, I've told them that we are an awesome church of wonderful human beings, and that we would be able to provide an intern with some great opportunities for learning in ministry. Yeah. We're very proud of our modesty. I haven't actually said quite all of those things in that way. But you know, we're in on their radar screen. That's what I'm saying, and so they were grateful for what I filled out their form. And strategic priority number five, to enhance the desire of members to bear witness. Desire and ability, we could change that too perhaps. To bear witness to the kingdom of God in our wider community. So why this priority? In order that others may know that God cares about both them and the world they live in, we need to ensure that the life-receiving relationship we have with God through our worship and fellowship and discipleship development has its counterpart in a life-giving engagement with our wider community through sharing the gospel and bearing witness to the kingdom of God. In doing so, we need to be aware that many of our members are already actively engaged in the community as volunteers and paid workers. In these roles, our people regularly find themselves bearing silent and sometimes spoken witness to the truth of God. We therefore, actually just on that, I was really touched a couple of months ago, Mark, when you preached one time, you and correct me if I haven't quite got this right, but you talked about how you see yourself there at Spotswood Primary as kind of a small part of the kingdom of God. You said that, didn't you? And I thought, oh, yeah, that's awesome, you know, that here we are as Christians in our different roles in the community, trying to be people of God's love and God's life, even if you don't actually say it in so many words. You know, these things are better done than said sometimes. We therefore need to ensure that we nurture and encourage and resource our members to continue in these roles in their daily lives as witness bearers to Jesus Christ, rather than simply encouraging them to believe that witness bearing to Jesus is just another church program they have to get involved in. I've been deeply affected by that personally, and it's shaped me significantly in terms of the sort of minister that I believe God's calling me to be. My brother, Murray, who sadly suicided a little over 10 years ago, he was a barrister in law and worked was doing his very best on a daily basis to do the very best thing for children in some of these horrible situations that occur when relationships break up. And he said he went to a church where he thought that the minister didn't even know what he did for a job. And on Sundays they'd get a message, get busy for Jesus, you know. And he said, you know, I kind of thought, well, I've sort of been doing that. I come here to be fed and nurtured, not sort of told to get busy for Jesus. And that really struck me. And so I'm deeply aware that so many of us here at St. James are being the hands and feet of Jesus out in our community in our different roles, even if you're not actually saying it in so many words. Just your presence and the way you embody the truth of God and your very lives is something that we very much value and want to nurture, and not just for people to have to come along on a Sunday and be told, get involved in one of our programs here, which to me is just so not good. We therefore need to ensure that we nurture, encourage and resource our members to continue in these roles in their daily lives. Yeah, we've already said that. So specifically ensuring that we actively and intentionally make ourselves aware of injustice that blights the lives of people in our community and further afield. And we support and assist our members who work in the wider community to be salt and light to others for Jesus' sake. And whatever these roles that we have many people here who are involved in education, in health, in business, in the wider community in all sorts of different ways. And so specific measures, by 2024, we want to have at least twice a year provided specific preaching and theological teaching on faith at work. in order to bridge the gulf between Christian faith and what happens in the workforce. You know, our life here on a Sunday morning at church and the life the rest of our week in whatever part of the world that we're working in. And a deliverable for this, by 2024, we will have set up a catalyst group at St. James for those members who want to come together to learn about, pray about, and take action on social justice issues relating to poverty, inequality, and environmental degradation. So that's something that we can look at doing. Okay, so there we go. That's time. And so please hold on to these two documents that you've got now. There's the one that Meryn gave out last week, which is the overarching sort of summary page of this. If there aren't, we'll make more available. Still some out there? Yeah. And so next week I'll be preaching on the theological foundations that underpin this. The following week I want it to be a congregational meeting where you come back having thought about this in some detail and we can question these things and debate these things. We take some things out, we reword some things, we add some other things in that aren't there that you believe should be there. There's a couple of weeks in all that I'm going to be away. But then we have a congregational meeting, I think the 17th of next month, where we say yes to this and specifically also you make a decision with regard to what I've suggested about me dropping to a 0.8 role. Because that has to be approved by presbytery and they won't approve it unless it's approved by you folk. I spoke to Fiona Prestige a couple of weeks ago and I said, this is what I'm thinking. What does presbytery need to happen? And she said two things. Firstly, that it's a free will decision. There's been no coercion or bully boy tactics on my part. I said, okay. So I had to change my plans a bit around there. Just kidding. And then she said, and you have to have we have to be satisfied that the church will be well cared for and that all the stuff that a church needs to do will be able to happen. So we need to talk about that some more. However, can we call it a day now as far as that goes? Lorraine, yeah? Would you like to lead the closing prayer as well? All right. All right. Well, I'll do it then. But yeah, loving and faithful God, thank you that we can gather together as a community of faith here at St. James Church. As we said this morning, we see in Scripture that St. Paul, your servant Paul, had plans. They were good plans. They didn't all work out, and some of them worked out quite differently to how he thought they would work out, and some of them didn't seem to work out at all. And yet, you are the God who calls us to make plans in fellowship with you, in reliance upon you. And we ask that our plans will be plans that you will bless, you will cause to prosper, you will help us to be a community of faith and hope and love here at St. James. Thank you that we can have this conversation in a good and open way. And we certainly do pray for John as he grieves the loss of his sister in Sydney, that you would be with him as he travels over there for the funeral, that you would enfold him in your loving kindness, that he would know that you are the God who cares and provides. And for the wider family as well, we thank you also that Philip's operation has gone well, and that he is amongst us again now, following that. Be with us all, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.